I never used to talk much. Got that honest. My daddy never used to talk much either. Well, he had his mouth shut once by a big old angel. That'll tend to make you think twice before you speak once. He was a good man, my daddy. A priest. Worked over yonder up at that temple, slaughtering all them lambs. It always kind of scared me what he had to do with all those animals just to keep people on the straight and narrow with God. Hard, bloody work. He got too old for it eventually. Mind you, I never did follow in my daddy's footsteps. I suppose it was just kind of not in my line to follow what he did, all that business with the sheep and everything. When I got old enough, I left home, chose a solitary life out in the desert. Suppose I had some things I needed to work out. The day I left, my daddy, he walked me down to the river, gave me this here note. Said these were words that he spoke over me when I was a baby. Told me to chew on these words while I was out in the desert. You, my boy, are going to go ahead of the Lord. You're going to get everything ready for Him. You're going to tell the people that they can have their sins forgiven. Tell them that God's kindness is going to shine on them like the rising sun. Well, I stayed out there in the desert. Just me, the desert, and these here words. The funny thing is, the longer I stayed out there, these words, they began to chew on me. I started to get this heaviness, this weight, things that needed to be accomplished. And the more it just grew and it grew until one day I just knew I had to go back. So I went to the river. And I opened my mouth, and words poured out like a swarm of bees. And I started rebuking the religious, telling people to get straight with God. Be baptized. Repent of your sins. Folks, I never talked so much in my entire life. Just between you and me, I can't take credit for everything that I said. There were moments, times, whereas all this, if God Almighty Himself would come down and was speaking through me, I can't say I understood everything that I said or did, but I kept talking and I kept baptizing, all the while under this weight that I'd gotten way back in the desert. Then one day, I was in the river, and I looked down the way, and I saw this fellow. And he was coming towards me. And I almost heard myself say under my breath, there he is. There he is. The Lamb of God who takes away all of our sin. Well, this fellow, he walked right up to me. And would you know it? It was my cousin Jesus. I hadn't seen him in years. He asked me to baptize him. I did it. There he was, dripping wet, just standing there. And I swear, I heard this voice out of the clouds that said, "This is my boy, and I am very, very pleased with him." Wow, isn't that something? I couldn't take my eyes off him. He was shining, I tell you. Like the rising sun. All that weight, that heaviness, well, it just disappeared, evaporated into thin air. I knew, I just had this knowing that I had done what the Lord had asked. I'd gone ahead. I had finished my task. Folks, this was never about me. The whole time, always, it is all about Him. Well, it still is.
Well, good morning. Many people have been asking how my father-in-law is. Thank you. He was supposed to have 5 to 6 bypasses done, and they are only able to do 2 because his arteries were abnormally small, and the doctors have said that's the best we could do. So thank you for praying. He's recovering well. He's out of the ICU and walking hallways and doing all that kind of stuff now. So thanks for praying. Yes, I'm missing Cindy. On Friday, I went to the gym, and I went and I did a spin class, and then after the class, I was driving home, and I looked down, and I realized my shorts were inside out. I saw the line, so I took a picture of them. I'm like, wow. I went and did this whole class, not realizing that my shorts were inside out, and then I never even realized until I got out of the car that I'm like, and my pockets were hanging down. So I'm wearing black shorts with gray pockets that are dangling out like this, flapping in the wind, with a big old tag hanging out here. And I'm like, yeah, that's what happens, you know? So we're about to kick off a new series that will take us now right until Easter. In this series, we're going to be looking at a variety of people who were impacted by the Lord. This morning, we're going to start off with the one who prepared the way, John the Baptist. Now, sometimes we forget that John and Jesus were cousins. We forget that that crazy preacher out in the wilderness eating locusts and honey had that deep connection to Jesus. The angel comes and tells Elizabeth that she's going to have a son who will point the way to the Son of God. Then Mary shows up and the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb leaps with joy to the sound of Mary's voice. That baby was John the Baptist. It's interesting how much the voice plays a role in John's life. His father loses his voice and he can't speak for the whole time of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, yes, I see some of the ladies out there smiling, saying, wow, 9 months of my husband not talking. That would be wonderful. The voice also happened when Mary's voice spoke and the baby leapt with inside of the womb. John becomes the voice in a wilderness. People come from miles around to hear what he has to say. John baptizes Jesus, and he hears a voice of the Father declaring, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. And later, the goal of the Romans was to have John's voice silenced. What power we have in words. You know, every one of us in this room have heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What a lie. See, words have a propensity to be able to affect us in a deep way, to leave scars, to be able to hurt, to be able to really chart out the path, whether we believe them. So many times lies are spoken through words that we believe, and they become part of our identity. And the Lord wants to show us, He wants to show us truth. I love how Mike said in the drama, words came out of him like a swarm of bees. You notice that he didn't say words came out of him like flowers or like birdies or sweet honey and cookies. He says like a swarm of bees. I don't know about you, but sometimes my mouth can get me into trouble. You know, I remember one time Cindy and I were first married, and she kind of came in and she came up to me and she says, honey, would you just give me a word of encouragement? I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I just kind of feel down. I just want you to love on me as my husband. I'm like, sure. Now, when you're put on the spot like that, I don't know what to say. So I look for inspiration, and I quickly scan the room, and I saw this beautiful jade plant that we had. And it died, but it was doing really well at the time. Now, whenever we get a plant in our house, it really is dead plant walking. It's not going to be long before it goes. But at this time, this plant was the only one that we've ever had that was thriving. It was doing well. So I said, honey, I gotcha. I said, you're like this beautiful jade plant. You're big and full. She goes, just stop. Just, you know what? Never mind. I'm fine. And she walked away. And to this day, she doesn't let me forget about that. John was the voice in the wilderness. He was called to it. When you speak what you think are God's words, you can't edit them. You can't guide them to a specific individual. Then they become your words. John spoke and let the words do what they needed to do. A pastor, Mike Yankovich, once said, give the truth and let the truth do its own work. You can't wrestle someone into the kingdom. We use words. We invite them. We love on them. We say what Jesus said. We plant the seed and we give truth and let God do the rest. I'm going to ask Mary Lawrence to come on up and share us a testimony about words. Speak life.
I'm so glad it's bright up here. I asked Lance how long I had, if I had like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said, well, basically 2 hours. So here I am.
Go for it.
I better stick with my notes. One of the things I was going to say is I travel and speak. And who am I kidding? Because I don't do that. I travel to my salon, get behind the chair, and I speak to my clients. And I don't know if any of you ever took the evangelism explosion class. And where you go door to door. Well, I was one of those who wanted to stay back at the church and eat cookies. Because you knock on people's doors and you ask them 3 questions. And I was like, I can't do that. And one of the, how much time do I have? I don't want to. Okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, okay. So I realized that people don't care. You've heard the saying, people don't care how much you know till you show them how much you care. Well, I'm thankful for that because I don't know that much. So I'm going to give just a really brief synopsis. I won't take a whole lot of your time because I really do believe that testimonies are the greatest witness. And so when I first got saved at 15, it really did rock my world. And it changed who I was as a person. I mean, I still had that personality, but I became a lot more calm and laid back. I was one of those kids in school that the teachers had to keep me kind of under rein, and I changed. And the teachers noticed it, and it kind of reminded me of, I don't know where Berdine Warwood is, but my brother and her used to travel in a singing group called Shekinah, and they sang a song called Lucas McGraw. And it basically, it was about this guy who got saved, and he was this hillbilly. And everybody was like, what has come over you? It's like something touched you. Is it really God you're feeling? And I know that when I got saved, I knew that that was God. And I grew up in a big family, and you kind of get lonely. Had a close family, but so I spent a lot of time with the Lord when I was younger. And so I read a lot, and I started memorizing. And 2 verses that I memorized as a 15-year-old, you've probably all heard them. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men, and they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then down the road, as I was reading, I come across 2 Corinthians 4:4, and it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they cannot see. So as a young girl, I'm like, okay, how can I let my light shine if people can't see it? So I started growing in the Lord, and then I kept processing those verses. And then one time, the Lord showed me very clearly what that meant when I came into town with a bunch of friends, and they got a bunch of beer because we were supposed to go to the show. They got a bunch of beer, and I wanted out of the car. I told them, let me out of the car. They ridiculed me, called me goody-two-shoe Christian. I was mad. I started walking down Main Street thinking, where am I going? I'm 35 miles from home. And I am the Lord's, and I just started praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought those 2 verses back to me. And he said, Mary, they come hand in hand. He said, I want to use you, even though you're not a wordsmith, I want to use you to let your light shine, to help get the blindfolds off those who can't see. So I strive very much to do that. And so a couple I thought to myself, what do I want to share that has been that type of a testimony? I thought I could share about working in a restaurant with another Christian who consistently shoved, I wouldn't want to say that. She consistently witnessed in a wonderful, wonderful young lady, but people pushed her away, and I bussed everybody's tables and took the cook's cokes and gave me an opportunity to lead one of the cooks to the Lord because he saw that I thought about the ability of my youngest son, who's very lost, gave me a grandson that freaked me out, but God called me to love Mama, and I have a precious grandson, gave me opportunity to lead her to Christ. But what I landed on, and I can't finish this story, but coming home one time, Tom's in North Dakota, coming to church one time, there's this young man walking down the middle of Durston, just literally like this, and cars are swerving, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, and he was very clean cut. They're trying to miss him. I pull over because that's kind of what I do. Roll down my window. I tell him, do you need a ride? And he just kind of looks at me. He gets in the car. I don't recommend this to most young ladies, but he gets in the car, and he just gives me the funniest look, and I said, where are you going? And I'm really abbreviating this story. Where are you going? He goes, I'm going up to MSU or home. Where's that at? We get to talking. I notice a bunch of scars on his arm, and I don't think anything of it, but he keeps looking at me really weird and saying, why did you pick me up? And I'm like, because you were going to get hit. And he said, but you don't know who I am. I said, well, that's okay. Anyway, fast forward. He says to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. Do you want to come? He said, sure. And I was like, whoa. So we come to church. I get out of the car. Bob Bowers is walking across the street now. So it's him and this young man, Jason, myself and young man Jason. And I see Bob. He goes, hi, Mary. And Jason's in front of me. And I went, hi, Bob. And then I went, and it wasn't like I was afraid, but I'm a woman. This was a young man. So Bob comes over. I introduce him. Long story short, Jason, throughout the service, was asking Bob. He sat with Bob, asking Bob questions. I was on the prayer team that day. And throughout the service, between Bob and I, we were answering him questions. He came up, and he kept saying, no, he can't. No, he can't. No, he can't. And the young man... The service ended by everybody basically leaving him in the front of the... One thing I want to back up is I text my son, Spencer, who's extremely intuitive. Son, please pray. I picked up a stray guy on the road. And he says, okay, I will. So then in the middle of the service, Spencer texted me back, and he said, Mom, something big's about to happen. I'm just letting you know that. So fast forward. Jason comes forward. I'm praying over him. I'm praying down these scars, and I hit this one scar, and he wails and wails and starts bawling and ends up giving his life to the Lord that day. And I can't go into the rest of the story because I just can't. But anyways, so that was the one I wanted to land on because I've had opportunities to just shine to people I know. But it's okay when God leads you, because I think Mike Alt ended up taking Jason. And I'm just me, and I think about God saying, let your light shine. So on the way of taking Jason to wherever he was headed, Mike said, how did you, and Jason's just rambling about God, how did you get to church? Now, when Jason was looking at me at the car, he was doing this. And I'm driving, and he's giving me weird looks. He told Mike, and it's not that I am, but he said, an angel picked me up. Now, I don't believe I'm an angel, but I do believe God used me. So I'm going to just finish off with a simple song that says, let them see you in me, Lord. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them see you in me. Otherwise, I'm just another face. And I think we all need to let our light shine first before we start saying and talking. And I'm one of those who need that too. And God used a little baby girl in my life one time at Target when I was lonely. Tom was gone. My youngest son is a mess. My oldest son was gone. And I was bending down looking at some mascara. And I glance over and there's this little toddler. And she walks over to me. Her mommy's going, Lily, come here. Lily. And she literally walked over to me. And I turned and I looked at her. She comes in front of me. And she put both of her little hands on my face. She leaned in and kissed me on the lips. And her mom said, oh, man, I am so sorry. She never does that. She's actually afraid of people. And I was like, no, that was from the Lord. And I really believe that God used that little light to shine on a big light. So my encouragement to you is let your light shine first. And it's not that I'm so perfect because mine kind of gets dull sometimes. So.
Amen. With our 40 Days with Jesus series, for your information today, we are going to be having a Good Friday service this year. There's sort of 8 series, and it's going to kind of work around the whole time with Palm Sunday. And for this to kind of all work, we're going to have a Good Friday service. So you can mark that in your calendar, and it's going to be 6 o'clock on Good Friday. So John's main message is found in Matthew 3:2. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Isn't that message still so applicable for today? Matthew 3:5 says, people from Jerusalem and from all over Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Revival was taking place where lives were being changed. Isn't that really the heart cry of this assembly? Man, Lord, we desire to know God, to be transformed, to live empowered lives. That's who we are at the core. So we're seeing people come repenting of their sins, being transformed by the Lord, and stepping into the power of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are to see transformation come to the Gallatin Valley and then spring out globally in a mighty move of His Spirit. There is nothing we can do to accomplish this on our own merit. It's only through a mighty move of God, and my heart is that we be people who prepare the way of the Lord. My friends, we are a house of prayer. We need to be praying and say, God, would you just establish what you want to do? Lord, we don't want to make waves. We can come up with all kinds of cool, creative things. We can spend lots of money on evangelism, on advertising, on whatever. But when the Lord starts to move in a powerful way and we say, God, we want to align ourselves with what the Spirit of God is doing, man, that's a tsunami of His presence that is going to hit this valley. So John is living in this amazing time where people are coming from all over. They're walking in a spirit of repentance. Can you picture that? And then what happens? Jesus shows up. Now, many questions have been asked about why Jesus would desire to be baptized in the first place. Why would Jesus seek baptism? For he'd never sinned, he had nothing to confess, and he didn't need to repent. Wouldn't you say that's a fair question? Now, many scholars suggest that Jesus was baptized, he was identifying himself with the people that he came to serve. Now, as a church leader, I've done many leadership training courses over my time. And I remember teaching different missions teams that went all over the world. And I said to them, I said, guys, you're leaders. We got to keep that in the forefront that every one of us in this room are leaders. And I would say a leader, one thing you want to do is you want to walk in humility and you want to make sure that you never get too high up. You start to get high up that horse and you know what? All of a sudden humbleness comes. You know what I'm saying? So as I would say that, I would use this term, never get to the place where you don't want to clean up poop. And you know what happened? I remember I was just teaching this lesson, and I went downstairs in the washroom, and one of the little kids had made a mess in there. And I'm like, oh, now I'm the pastor. And I walk in, it's just like, oh, oh, oh. Like, it was everywhere. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to go get the janitor. And then I took a few steps out, and the Lord says, Lance, never get to the place where you will clean up poop. I'm like, seriously, God? He's like, you said that 5 minutes ago. He says, I want you to clean it up. I'm like, God, all right. And you know what? Next week, it happened again. This time I just went and got the bucket. I didn't even walk in. I'm just like, okay, Lord, I'm on it. And just went and did it, because as leaders, we have to model what we need to model the move of God. We need to model the love of Christ. And guess what? You're a leader in the kingdom of God. What does that look like? Maybe that's a great question to journal with the Lord. Lord, what does that look like? What are you desiring for me to model? As Jesus modeled, he says, you know what? I need to be baptized because this is important. I need to step into that place because this is important. And I need to teach people what I desire. How can we now impact people? How can we teach and walk? So Jesus had no sin that needed to confess and repented of, as those who are baptized do. Jesus was declaring his identity with human nature that is prone to weakness and sin on his walk to the cross. He first passed through the waters of baptism. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, so that we could be made right through Christ. So Jesus becomes stuck in our sin, so we may become unstuck through his amazing grace by his broken body and blood that was shed as a sacrifice for you and me. Wow. God's perfect plan for Jesus was to be baptized and thus fulfill all righteousness, as Jesus said in Matthew 3:15. Do you feel stuck this morning? You know what? Maybe you're stuck in some rut in your life. Maybe it's just like, you know what? I'm stuck in a job. I'm stuck in marriage. I'm stuck in school. I'm stuck in a dire financial situation. Maybe you even say, you know what, Pastor? I'm stuck in my relationship with God. No matter where you are or how you're feeling, God wants you to know that he's with you this morning. He will never leave you or forsake you. It is absolutely amazing to see the times that we get stuck, how the Lord ministers and teaches us in these dire times. My friends, God is on the move. He's anything but stuck. He invites us to know him and live our lives unstuck as we step in and through him in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the truth of his word, which is found in the Bible. When Jesus waded in the water to be baptized, he did it as a way to demonstrate that he was willing to do whatever it takes, not only to meet us where we're at, but to help us get unstuck from our sin, that we may be able to move forward. I remember when I was in Cold Lake, we had a young couple who just gave their life to Christ. And you know what? Their life was filled with baggage. They had a rough upbringing. Actually, this gal that I'm talking about wrote a book about her life, and it's on Amazon. It's a great book called I Met Jesus in the Gym, if you want to pick it up, by Jenny Romancic. And I remember one time getting a phone call, and just it was the phone call. You couldn't understand her because she was crying so hard. And Sydney's eyes like, we got to go now. And we went over and met. And what had happened is she came to the school to pick up her kids. And the principal came out and met with her and said, hey, Jenny, I just want you to know the social services came and took your kids today. There's a complaint that you weren't a good mom. And there's nothing we can do. So they stepped in. So she's just like, I've lost my kids. And the three kids were taken and placed into foster care. And Jenny and Sean, this dear couple, great friends of ours, new in Christ. Would you say that would rock your world? They went through this time and they had to jump through all these hoops that the government laid out for them to be able to jump through. And in and through this, this couple, instead of just getting angry at God and saying, God, why would you do this to me? They drew close to him. And I tell you, if Jenny was here this morning, she would say, this was one of the most powerful times in my life because it became a catalyst of me knowing the Lord. See, Jenny had things in her life. There was things that were not right. There was things that she had to change. Because again, we all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. And maybe you're in this room this morning and you're like, you know what? I just don't know about that. I just feels like I'm so far away from God. The Lord wants to make you unstuck this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through the darkest time that you've ever gone through in your life. And you're just like, I don't know if I can do this. God wants to meet you right where you're at. And may this be the catalyst that just brings life deep into your spirit. For we worship a living God who desires to speak life. And you know what? Even if the enemy is behind it, do you know the word of God says what the enemy meant for evil that God will use for good? That's exactly what took place in this story. So John baptized Jesus, and then something amazing takes place. The people there got to witness a blessing from the Father to the Son, coupled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful representation of the Trinity displayed at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry and mission. Let's read that in Mark 1. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The words that God the Father spoke over Jesus the Son really echo from both the writer of Psalms and Isaiah in this, which is absolutely fantastic. Psalms 2:7 says, "The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I become your father.'" Now, these words here were used on coronation by a new king or the reigning king, as a father would crown his son to rule over this ancient and weighty words. The words, "With you I am well pleased," comes from the book of Isaiah as he foreshadows the Lord's chosen servant. Isaiah 42:1 says, "Look at my servant who I am strengthened. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations." Jesus would be that chosen one who would be identified as the suffering servant that would give his life for the nations through the way of the cross. Before his disciples became aware of the true identity of Jesus and this, as the suffering servant, the chosen one would rescue them from their lives stuck in sin. Jesus went to great lengths for after that baptism to prepare the walk of the cross. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 1:12, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. What I find really interesting about this is this whole series is 40 days with Jesus. Do you know that numbers are significant and symbolic when mentioned in the Bible? Jesus was in the wilderness preparing for public ministry where he fasted and was tempted. The Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert. God flooded the earth with rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Each one of these historical biblical periods with 40 in them was a preparation into what follows. My friends, no matter what you feel like you're stuck in this morning, whether it's 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 months, 40 years, 40 hours, whatever your proverbial wilderness is, God's desire is that you know him without a shadow of a doubt, that he will lead you out of the wilderness and into new beginnings. His mercy and grace is new and is abundance for all who will call upon the name of the Lord. Know that in verse 13 it says that Jesus was with wild animals. Now that part of the world back then was filled with hyenas, jackals, panthers, and even lions. Now for Jesus, this would have been a tense time of preparation. Remember I was talking about that in our series on fasting about how there's nothing better when you're fasting to be able to hit your beauty rest mattress? Well, Jesus was in the wilderness with all these dangerous things that would have been a real struggle with your head on a rock. There was a fierce temptation, Jesus' entire temptation period in the wilderness. Now perhaps we can relate in our own wilderness terms. For us, we may not face those wild animals of the same sort, but nonetheless, we have other temptations that surround us in the wilderness. They're not inhabited by jackals, hyenas, panthers, lions, but instead, maybe the presence of abusers, regret, painful words that have been spoken over us, reminders of past failures, wild addictions, or simply, even as Mary was saying, scars that remind us of complicated stories that we've been part of days gone by. Regardless of what surrounds us in the wilderness, Jesus empowers us by his Spirit. The Spirit gives us direction by Holy Spirit word founded in pages of Scripture if we choose to heed such strengthening agents. The final verse from our text reminds us where we started and where John the Baptist was located, but it also reminds us of how Jesus started his public ministry. It's in Mark 1:14. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached the good news. The time promised by God came at last. He announced the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. John had now completed his assignment. He indeed had prepared the way of the Lord. His ministry was complete, and this would be his release, and he would never be released from prison. Jesus had survived his time in the wilderness, conquered all temptation thrown his way by the devil. He was now ready to embark on public ministry and take his first steps towards the cross. The gospel accounts certainly show many miracles along the way. However, his first order of business is recorded in Mark's gospel. It was a proclamation that he makes. Repent and believe. That word for repent in the original language is metanoia. It means to rethink the way you think about things. It means to move forward in a new direction when leaving behind old courses. The reason Jesus calls us who would hear his voice to a new way to think is because according to him, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is at hand means the triumph of God is now so close, the powers of evil are being oppressed in successful ways. So what does that mean for us? That means that evil no longer has the power to keep us stuck. Are you stuck? Remember back at the beginning, are you stuck? Well, the Lord wants to, like it says in Psalms 40, lift us out of the muck and mire, place our feet upon a rock and make our footsteps firm. God's love for us is absolutely amazing. There's a hope that needs to swarm every person who needs to be moved from being stuck to becoming free. This is the beginning that leads to the cross and it ends in victory. My friends, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here and you're like, someone invited me to church and I don't even know why I'm here this morning. Maybe you've been coming to church for years and you're just like, you know what, if I'm honest with myself, I don't even know if I know the Lord this morning. My friends, it starts out by just saying, God, I don't want to live my life for myself anymore. But Lord, I desire for you to be Lord and Master. God, I feel stuck. And I'm just drowning. And Lord, I just ask that you just set my feet upon the rock and make my footsteps firm this morning. That's his heart. That's his desire. So I just ask us this morning, would you just mind closing your eyes and bowing your head? Let's just treat this as a holy moment before the Lord, a time where we all just have that opportunity just to ponder things deep within our spirit. If that's you this morning, and Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, saying, son, daughter, I want you to come. I want you to become unstuck this morning. I want to speak life deep into your spirit. I want you to be able to call me Lord, where you take those problems and those weights, like it says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares, cast your anxieties upon him, for he cares for us. That we can lay that on the throne and say, Lord, they're yours this morning. I'm not going to take them and carry them anymore. If that's you, would you just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me this morning? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, three people. Thank you. Is there any others? Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, Father. Just want to give it another minute. Hallelujah. If the Lord's speaking to you this morning, would you respond to Him and just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I desire for you to be master, for you to be Lord. And just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Well, let us stand to our feet this morning. As Patrick leads us in a song, I'm just going to call the prayer team up. You know what? If you're one of those that raised your hand, you'd like prayer this morning, and you'd like maybe someone to be able to talk to you more about salvation, we would love to be able to do that. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, we would love to be able to pray for you for anything. Because we know that God moves in powerful ways today. We're a church that believes that signs and wonders are for today. Need healing in your body? You need a special touch from the Lord? Are you just feeling stuck and you're just like, God, would you just minister to me? We'd love to pray for you. But let's just open up the altars now and just come. And again, what we do here is that if you just kneel at the front, that just means that you just want time alone with God. Nobody's going to pray for you. But if you'd like prayer, we got four great people up here, and two great and two not so good. You decide. Well, I was going to say two great couples is what I was going to say, and then I'm like, I can't say that. So anyways, there's better ways, yeah. So I just want to open up the altars now that I've totally blown this mood. Sorry, Lord. But let's just press into the presence of God and say, Lord, we need you this morning, for you are good. Amen.